The scripture lesson for this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Matthew 5, 1 to 12. Listen to the word of the Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. Every now and then people tell me, "Sam, I'm not sure I will end up in heaven. It's so hard to be a Christian." They have been taught the wrong doctrine. I say, if you think being a Christian is hard, you have got it wrong. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So if you don't feel free, it means you don't have the truth, and you must get the truth. Get it right. The truth is that we are saved by grace through Christ. The moment you fully grasp it, you are set free and you have nothing to complain about in life. I'm not kidding. I will explain. As long as you still have something to complain about, you have not yet understood God's grace fully. We are saved by grace means it is not based on what we do, but what Christ has done on behalf of us. All religions in the world can be summarized by one word: do. Do this, do that. Don't do this, don't do that. But Christianity is summarized by the word done. So if you have the mindset of do, you belong to another religion. But if you are a Christian, you understand that everything is done. It's done by Jesus Christ on the cross. If everything is done for you by grace, then what do you need to do? Why are you here still worshiping? You don't need to do anything, but you must live. Live the grace. The reason we are here this morning is to live the grace. Or to learn to live the grace better. If you can live the grace, you are living in heaven on earth. You don't have to wait until you die to enjoy the kingdom of heaven. You can enjoy it right now and right here by living the grace. Of course, we will be in heaven one day, but we can also be in heaven right now. In fact, Jesus taught us how to live in heaven on earth. It has 8 steps. I call it 8 steps to heaven. Precisely, it's 8 steps to heaven on earth. What's more interesting is that it was the very first thing Jesus taught. It was his first sermon. Now, we talk about Jesus being the embodiment of grace upon grace. You can see that his message is not here to judge people, but to deliver blessings, to deliver grace. So from the very beginning, we hear grace. It's known as the Beatitudes. which means the blessings. From the outset of his ministry, Jesus laid out a path for you to follow. Grace is the life Jesus expects us to live. You can decide whether it's hard or not after hearing this message. I formulate these 8 steps into an acrostic, carefree. The first one is consciousness. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven." The first step to heaven is consciousness or self-awareness. Without consciousness, we don't even know that we are lost. Unconscious people are usually full of themselves. They think they are rich. They often live in a denial. Consciousness makes us realize our poverty. King David said that, "As for me, I'm poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." King David was obviously not physically poor or needy, since he was a king, but he was talking about being poor in spirit. He had that consciousness. Only when you are conscious of your poverty, you will ask God for help. The word poor is translated from the Greek word tokos, which means beggar. King David was asking God like a beggar, begging for help and deliverance. Consciousness makes us aware of our need for God's grace, because we become conscious of our sin and we need God's salvation. Jesus said, "If you are at this stage of consciousness, you are blessed because you are already on the first step of entering the kingdom of heaven." What's the kingdom of heaven? Again, we talked about this in previous weeks. The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of grace. Nothing more, nothing less. The second step is abandonment. Some people are conscious, but they don't change. So their consciousness becomes useless. For example, at the moment I'm conscious of my diabetes, when the doctor told me, I realized I might not live long enough to see my kids get married and enjoy my grandkids. However, if I don't change my lifestyle, my consciousness is useless. If I do change my lifestyle, it means I must abandon my old lifestyle. I must stop eating sugar. I must stop snacking. I must stop eating carbs. In the spiritual realm, it means that I must abandon the sinful lifestyle or whatever is in the way for you to live the grace. Abandoning the old lifestyle is not easy. It makes you mourn the old lifestyle. It's painful. But Jesus said that you are blessed for taking this step. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The word mourn is translated from the Greek pentheo, meaning to lament about our suffering, to mourn for our loss. The biggest abandonment or the biggest thing we must lose is our ego. In such a case, we lament for the barrier of our own ego. We must abandon whatever it is in our way to live in grace. Most of the time, it's our own ego that is in the way. Jesus said, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." Jesus said, "You must nail your ego on the cross and follow me." If you are at that stage, you realize that there is an obstacle that is in the way of your living in grace. You are blessed when you are able to nail it on the cross, because you will be comforted by having a new and better life, the life of grace. Now we enter into this life of grace, rebirth. Once you abandon your ego, you will be reborn into a new life, the life of grace. The new life is like that of an infant, completely vulnerable, humble, and meek. If you become meek and humble, you are in the third stage of living in heaven on earth. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." An infant is meek, but receives abundance. They don't do anything, but everything is brought to them. They are fed when hungry, they are wiped when dirty, and they are soothed when whiny. They surely have inherited the earth. They mean the world to their parents. You enter this stage when you have abandoned everything and now basking in God's grace. When you let go and let God, you are reborn into a life of grace. Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they?" When you reach that stage of trusting God, trusting God's grace like a bird of the air, you are blessed. You have learned to live in grace at this stage. The next one is edification. Edification is for our spiritual nourishment, just as education is for our mental nourishment. After you are spiritually reborn, you develop a hunger to grow. You want to know more about grace, and you want to embody the grace, and that's called righteousness. Many people think righteousness is about justice. No, Christian righteousness is grace. And I've explained this a few weeks ago, so I won't elaborate. But Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Now, at this stage, you hunger for studying the Bible. You thirst for pleasing God. And that is righteousness. How do you live in righteousness? Live in grace. This brings to the next step, forbearance. So when you enter into when you try to live in righteousness, you learn to do what God does. Forbearance is tolerance, mercy, or forgiveness. After you become hungry for righteousness, you embody grace. You begin to practice grace. In the beginning, you were like a beggar, like King David, begging for grace. Then you receive grace. Then you live in this grace. And now you begin to give grace. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." As you practice mercy, you receive even more mercy. As you forgive, you are more forgiven. When you practice grace, you understand God's grace even more. And as you give, you receive. It takes you to the next step, a refinement. Forgiving others is not easy. It's like a refining fire that purifies gold. As you forgive, you are forgiven, and you're more purified. And at this stage, you don't just live in God's grace. You become grace. You embody grace. Just like Jesus, you begin to reflect Jesus' image of grace upon grace. Your heart is purified like pure gold. Jesus said, "Blessed are pure in heart, for they will see God." You see God because you have become grace. If you want to see God, get to this stage by becoming an embodiment of grace. And then you reach a stage of enlightenment. Enlightenment in English means both way. You get enlightened and you enlighten others. It's the same word, but has two meanings, two-way meaning. Since now you have embodied grace, you want to teach grace to enlighten others about grace. That teaching also reflects back to you. You enlighten yourself better. You know, teaching is a way of learning. So you begin to spread the good news of grace. You become the peacemaker. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Jesus is known the Prince of Peace. When you become a peacemaker, you become Christ-like. So you become a child of God, a prince or princess of peace. You become a peacemaker by shining the light of grace to others. But there's one more step. You might think enlightenment is the last stage. Why is there one more step after enlightenment? It's because this world is a world of disgrace. Now, just look at Washington these days. In the world of disgrace, no good deeds go unpunished. You think by spreading grace, the whole world will love you? No. History has proven that they will hate you and persecute you and even kill you. Abraham Lincoln turned this country into a nation of grace, but he was assassinated. Martin Luther King Jr. enlightened America about living in grace, but he was murdered. Jesus brought grace to this world, but he was crucified. That's why you need this one more step, endurance. Not everyone would be killed like them, those examples for being a peacemaker. But you need to be prepared to endure persecution if you want to be a peacemaker, if you want to enlighten the world. Grace drains the swamp, and the swamp snakes don't like it. So they resist and revolt. It's so serious that Jesus spent 3 verses on this topic instead of just 1 like on other topics. He said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." It has been done in the past. Don't be surprised. But how do you endure persecution against your peacemaking effort? Jesus said, rejoice. Why? Because you have now achieved carefree living. In this stage, you are living in heaven on earth. There's nothing to complain about, even persecution. I hope you can all get there. Let us all seek to live the grace and bring heaven on earth. May God bless you all. Amen.